Morning, everyone. How was our evenings last night? Got out? Or saving yourself for tonight? Welcome. Want to thank you first for coming to this session. I know it's early in the morning. Topic for today, deploying applications from onto Syntrix ZenApp Essentials and RDS 2016. So we'll be covering a number of topics around those areas. Some introductions. My name's Daniel Ma. I am a principal consultant with a company called Infront Consulting Group. I'm also a Microsoft MVP, Citrix MVP as well. So my background really comes from infrastructure. My Twitter feed is handles there. And I'll be sharing the stage with Scott.
Scott Ellis. I'm a solution architect from Citrix. So I've worked nationally with customers and partners, all focused on delivering Citrix workloads out of Azure.
Great, thanks. So what are we going to talk about today? Really, we're going to cover an update to Remote Desktop 2016. Can I get a show of hands who's actually runs RDS environments in their quite a few of you. Are they 2012? Anyone played with 2016 yet? A few of you? Good. I'll be giving you some tips and tricks on 2016 and what you can actually do in Azure with 2016 as well. After that, we're going to have a recap on this product Microsoft had called Azure Remote App. Anyone running Azure Remote App in production? Production here. A couple of you. Okay, good. Who actually played around with it, tested it, kicked the tires somewhat? Okay, a fair few of you. Well, the replacement for Azure Remote App is ZenApp Essentials, and that's what Scott will be covering. We'll go through kind of some demos on that, and then we'll come back at the end and show you how you might migrate from an environment that's running Azure Remote App into Citrix ZenApp Essentials. And finally, we'll look at some deployment and migration strategies of RDS in the cloud or deploying applications in your cloud. I want to set the expectation up front that we're not talking about desktops or virtual desktops in this session. It's all about infrastructure to deploy your applications, so you're publishing applications to the cloud. All right, so this is really just an introduction slide. We're looking at on-prem and in the cloud session-based computing. So Microsoft and Citrix have a range of products and solutions that cover the whole spectrum here, including our desktops. But really the focus for today is really the session-based. We're publishing applications to our users, whether they're on-prem, whether they're in the cloud. Okay. So what's new in RDS 2016? Windows Server got released last year. We're just going to go through an update of some of the new features in RDS 2016 that you can take advantage of. So let's level set and look at what a base RDS infrastructure looks like. You typically have a web access server, connection broker, very important piece, managing those connections to your session hosts. So when we talk about session-based computing, it's session hosts, RDSH. We also support the VDI model, but we won't really be highlighting this. Connections from external, typically you have an RDS gateway. RDS gateway uses basically opens port 443 and all our users come through 443 to get to their remote session. So nothing new here. We also have an RDP client and so on. Okay, so some of the updates that you're seeing with 2016 and in 2016 for RDS are around three areas. First area is really the increased performance, and this is mainly around the graphics performance, so taking advantage of the new N-series machines. The enhanced scale, so the connection broker can handle more connections now, and we can actually make it highly available as well using these shared SQL connections. I'll be going through that in a bit more detail. And it's now optimized for the cloud. So the architecture and its scalability into the cloud. So we look at the increased performance with RDS. It's really around the N-series. Anyone spun up N-series machines? You can see they're quite expensive. They're also not available in Australia. We don't have N-series machines in Australia. There's one region in the world that has both. So we have NV series for virtualization and NC series. so for more compute intensive. So these are kind of the specs that you're getting. They all have GPUs. The NV and NC series are actually available in Southeast US. It's the only region in the world that has both. If we look closer to our region, Asia Pacific, you can only find them in Singapore. And in Singapore, you can only find the NV series. So here in Australia, we're kind of stuck in terms of using N series if we want to have them local to our region. There's no timeline on when they'll be made available, but I guess look out for those Azure updates. It'll eventually come down here. But really, you've really got to look at your workloads. Do you seriously need the... there's actually other Ignite sessions recordings that actually go into a lot more detail with the N series, so I encourage you to go see those. Okay. Right, so if we talk about the enhanced RDS connection broker scale, typically if you're looking in the HA environment, you have multiple connection brokers. You load balance across those connection brokers using DNS. And before, to make it a highly available environment, you had to deploy a SQL cluster. And you put that database connection string into your connection broker, and then you've got a highly available environment. The new model, we can actually use PaaS, Azure SQL, and Azure SQL DB to provide that highly available link for our connection broken service. So in terms of performance, handling up to 10K connections with this 2016. So if anything, if you're looking for scale, looking for an easier HA, upgrading to 2016 will give you that capability. What I'll do is I'll go through a demo on how you actually set this up now. Let me switch over six. Okay, so we have our Azure environment here. The new portal. Well, it's not the new portal. There's actually a preview.portal.azure.com if you go to it. It looks the same, but it has all the preview features. So what I've done here is I've already provisioned a SQL database. So this SQL database I actually provisioned using a PowerShell script. So I ran a script that created a SQL database server and then created an SQL database on that. So if I go to my connection broker server, if we look here, my connection, this is all running on 2016 here. Connection broker is not enabled for HA yet. So I'm going to enable this for HA using an Azure SQL database. So how do we go about doing that? So I've already created that SQL database. It's this one here. So if you drill down into this database, it was created from a script. It only took about three or four minutes to run that script to create that database. And we want to look at the connection strings. So how do we connect to this SQL Azure database? So we have this ODBC string that we use to connect to it. I'm just going to copy that. And there's a driver file that we download. So we download this driver file to our connection broker, and we install that ODBC driver. So I'm going to install that driver here. It's this file here. It only takes a couple seconds to install. Wizard, next, next, next. And while it's finished now. And I'm going to take... I'm also going to set up a new FQDN for my load balance connection brokers. So RDS HA CB and IP address 10.0. Okay. Add host. Okay. So this is for the load balance record. We'll see later where this comes into play. I'll take my connection spring, I'll put in the password. Okay, I'll copy that out. So now I have all the pieces to enable HA. So I come back into here. I have my connection broker here, enable high availability. So before you needed to point it to a database cluster. Now we have this option called shared database server. Get that with 2016. Shared database server here. And we need to put in the DNS name. So that's the name that I created just before. Okay. And this is where we paste that connection string. So the connection string refers to that as your SQL database. Got the password in there from copied. It's just next. And configure. Now, this should take a couple, about a minute to configure. What it's doing now, it's checking that those strings. It's connecting to the Azure SQL database on the where you've put that region. So really, you want to have your Azure SQL database close to where your RDS farm is. In this case, my RDS farm is sitting in Azure. So it's in the same region. Okay, so it's done. So that's it. High availability is now enabled for our RDS farm. And as you can see there, it's highly available mode. What I haven't added here, I haven't added additional connection brokers. So I need to add additional connection brokers so then they're load balanced across that SQL string, the FQDN string that I have. So it's that easy to enable HA now for your RDS farm in 2016. Word of warning, once you enable HA mode, there's no way to disable it without destroying the whole RDS farm. That was what it was in 2012, it's still there in 2016. So to remove my HA now, or if I want to point to another database, I've got to destroy my whole RDS farm. When they'll fix that, I'm not sure. Okay, let's jump back to the slides. All right, so let's go on. So really now, if we look at that kind of scenario, we've now removed infrastructure that we needed to have before, the SQL cluster, for instance. It means that for our 2016 infrastructure, we have fewer role services. So if we talk about the role services in an RDS farm, you've got your RDS session host, you've got your RD web, RD gateway. Those can be combined on a single VM, and that's Microsoft's recommended practice. Put your RDS gateway, RDS webs role on the same VM. Same with your connection broker and your license server. Put them on the same VM. So we looked at this. As your SQL database, instead of having two physical servers now for your RDS, for your DB HA, we can just use the SQL service. And for your AD now, do we need domain controllers? Well, we can actually now support AADDS, Azure Active Directory Domain Services, which is GA. Problem with that is it sits in the old ASM portal. All of this is sitting in the new ARM portal. There is actually a link that I'll show later where you actually can use a VNet to VNet connection to actually connect the two. So you can still get it working today until they move the AADS into the new ARM portal. So with this, we're actually reducing our infrastructure, and we can actually, it's going to save us money. If we spin this up in Azure, it's going to save us money. So this is more on the AADS. So it's been GA since 2016. Really, what you had before was you had an availability set with two domain controllers running as IaaS VMs for your AD. So the new model, you can actually have your AD a domain services providing the authentication and user accounts into your HA RDS environment. So these are some of the architectural considerations you'd probably be looking at if you're deploying new into the cloud. All right, so Microsoft's really helped you here with what we call these Azure Quick Start templates. It basically is an ARM template that deploys an entire RDS farm for you. The link is here. That will take you to this page here. There is also So you start here. The first three are really basic deployments. This one includes a domain controller. This one's bringing your own domain controller. This one's bringing your domain controller and your own RDSH image as well. These two here really update your environment to enable HA, adds another connection broker, adds additional high availability, for instance. There is also the option of using this. This is very new. In the marketplace, you can actually spin up an RDSH farm from scratch. It will include the domain controller. What this does is what this does. So we'll just quickly show you what that looks like. Okay. All right. Back to our Azure portal. Click on New here. Just type in RDS. So RDS will return a couple of results here. This one here is what we're going to do. These two here, if those familiar with the Azure Remote App, these were actually templates that Microsoft had created where you spin up an image in Azure to be used for Azure Remote App. They're 2012 images. One of them includes the Office Pro Plus. We're going to select this remote desktop. Gives you some information here, the architecture it's going to deploy. You can only deploy it to the ARM deployment model and create. So let's just type in some information, give it an admin account. Give it a new resource group. Let's call this 11. And give it a location. So it's going to ask you next for a gateway IP. And this field here is what your farm is going to be used to be accessed from. So we're going to lose. This really has to be unique. Okay. So this DNS name will be the DNS name that you use for your web access or the connection, the gateway, RDS gateway. How many RDS instances you want to spin up? And you actually have the choice of spinning up 2012 R2 or 2016. The size, I'm just going to leave this all as default, but you can actually change as you require. The D series is probably a better option here. On OK, and it's going to run a validation. Click on OK, and buy the thing. So it's going to start consuming my Azure credit as soon as it spins up all those VMs. How long this takes to actually complete? I've seen it take up to an hour, over an hour to spin up all those VMs. So once it's done, what you'll end up with, and so it's submitted the deployment, is I'm now logged into the domain controller of that deployment. I can see the servers here. So it creates a domain controller, a single broker server, a gateway server, and two RDSH servers. It automatically configures that farm for you. After that, you probably go in here in your typical tasks of adding SSL certs, maybe changing the domain name. So this is one I did earlier, number 10. So that's the gateway address. So I can go to this gateway now, or you can go to this gateway and log on if you need the password. So that's how easy it is for you to now spin up a 2016 RDS farm in Azure. So following those templates. Okay. Okay, all right, so just another slide on the supported OS configurations. So those that are running 2012 today and those looking at 2016. So a 2016 Connection Broker License Server, this side is 2016, can support session hosts that are on 2012. All right, so if you still have a mixed farm, you can change your RDS infrastructure to be 2016, but your session host can still be 2012. R2. That's the point I want to get across. what's supported, not supported. Ideally, you'd want to upgrade all your infrastructure. And bear in mind, Microsoft have the recommendation connection broker and license server can share the same role, same with gateway and web access. There's more guidance here as well. Okay. All right. Okay, so we're going to change tack now and have a recap on what is your remote app was or is. It still is. It's still available. It's not available today, but those who are still running it can still run it. Okay, so I actually gave a talk, not last year, but the last Ignite back in 2015 on Azure Remote App, and Eric Orman also gave a talk on Azure Remote App as well. So if you want to go back to those and review on those, you're welcome to as well. So with Azure Remote App, we have two types of deployment. A pure cloud deployment, it exists in the cloud. You actually use your Microsoft account to log on and access applications there. You don't actually need Azure AD or an AD account to use that cloud deployment. More commonly, though, customers had been deploying the hybrid deployment, where we actually do connect to an on-premise AD or even AADDS back then. So this is how it was structured. You had basic, standard, premium, premium plus, and it was basically an A3 machine. A3 machines are pretty cheap these days. They're pretty slow, though, as well. So Microsoft defined that you were on an A3 machine, and it would define how many users you have per A3 machine. So for a basic, you're getting up to 16 users, and so on, and the minimum purchase quantity there. So it's really a pure monthly subscription, how many users do I have using it, and those are the Australian dollar costs for that. So those that are running it in production today, they're probably running it in this mode. Okay. So what happened was in August 12th last year, Microsoft made the announcement that they're deprecating it. And the last day for it to be alive is the 31st of August 2017. On that day, Microsoft will turn off all Azure Remote App. Okay. On the same day, Citrix came, the CEO mentioned that Microsoft and Citrix are working together on a replacement for this, and it's called ZenApp Express. So that's what we're going to go and talk about now. And I'll pass it over to Scott. And he'll walk you through the ZenApp Express.
Thanks, Daniel.
Well, Essentials.
Yeah.
Oh, is that me or is that you? Okay. There's a name change. So ZenApp Essentials, as it is now known, was as part of the announcement, was referred to as ZenApp Express. But as you'll see, we'll run through some. We've got some tech preview capability to show to you today, and really the idea behind ZenApp Essentials was taking some of the core capabilities that has been available out of Azure Remote App, but provide some additional capability. So bring to the table some optimizations around end user experience with HDX capabilities from Citrix, but also some scalability. Azure Remote App was built on ASM. We're leveraging ARM for our ZenApp Essentials capability. And we're also introducing some advanced power management capability too to help power manage your environment and keep those costs down when those resources aren't required out of hours or on weekends and those sorts of scenarios. So a bunch of capabilities behind this is obviously simplifying the management. So ZenApp Essentials is leveraging, you may have heard of Citrix Cloud, it's a framework of services that we provide. There is a Platinum equivalent, so if you're familiar with ZenApp and Zen Desktop, a traditional Citrix customer, and you're familiar with Platinum, there's an equivalent for that capability, and that's delivered as a service out of Citrix Cloud, as is ZenApp Essentials. So this is taking the control plane components. So familiar with Citrix architecture, so the delivery controllers, license servers, those sort of components are delivered and managed as a service. So it's kind of a management platform. The workloads for themselves are still looked after by you as part of your Azure subscription, but it's really around simplifying that management component, is making that as easy as possible to stand up those components, and really it's about you being able to focus on your application delivery to your end users. So there are it's a capability that's only available out of Azure. So XenApp Essentials is an Azure only solution, and it's, as I mentioned earlier, it's really focused on providing the additional capabilities around end user experience, range of devices, range of peripherals, and having that rich end user experience. And it will be sold through the Azure marketplace. So I wanted to just spend a little bit of time on this slide because I wanted to make sure that there was a clear differentiation and understanding about the difference in these solutions. A lot of our customers today, Citrix customers today, have been on that left-hand side, the on-premise scenario, so perpetual licensing, standing up these control planes and management aspects themselves, managing their workloads. We're seeing more and more customers look to move to Azure to expand their workloads. And I'm not sure if anyone in the room's had a look at the RightScale State of the Cloud report. It came out this morning, so very good timing. If you haven't had a chance to have a look at that, some of the trends there are very interesting. SMBs still adopting cloud more rapidly than enterprise, and this is kind of where XenApp Essentials is really focused. A couple of years ago, we announced Citrix Cloud, and that is, you know, predominantly a lot of the conversations we've had with customers to date has been around their existing XenApp and Zen Desktop deployments and leveraging the capabilities of that management control plane that Citrix operates for and maintains for customers. The two extensions here of that capability is, again, using that same control plane but for very focused functions. The first one you see there is Zen Desktop Essentials, and this is the only slide I'll talk about today, but that's about delivering Windows 10 VDI out of Azure. So that's scheduled for release in the next quarter. So that's just purely Windows 10 out of VDI, out of Azure. If you're only looking to deliver Windows 10 desktops, no applications, so no mix, so those applications need to be in that Windows 10 desktop, then that's the solution you may want to look at. Many customers, and in the context of Azure Remote App, just need to get some applications out to end users. So they're not necessarily wanting to deliver a full desktop experience with those applications in there. It's really just getting out some core applications, and that's really where XenApp Essentials is focused, as was Azure Remote App. So this is due for a full release this quarter, so calendar quarter, meaning before the end of March. So it's really just around the corner. I've even noticed this week while doing some demonstrations at the booth with the tech preview environment we have access to that there's some subtle changes being made in the back end. So they're getting very close to that final release. So a few key things to call out here, and the reason being is that customers who do require, if you do require applications and desktops, so desktops for some users and applications, just applications for others, XenApp Essentials is really just on the application side. So it may be, what we're seeing at the moment, this is probably more appealing to the SMB space, but I have had a number of customer conversations where they see a specific use case, so sometimes it's contract resources or it might be just a short-term project, where they're really seeing XenApp Essentials as being a great solution for them to get three or four applications out to third-party resources. But if you are looking for some advanced features and functionality, leveraging your own NetScalers, leveraging your own storefronts, bunch of customizations, then you really would look at the XenApp and Zen Desktop service as a complete offering. There will be, not on release, but there will be a way to migrate from a licensing perspective from one of these to the other, and there will be also automated processes to help you with that as well. Key drivers, obviously, simplicity and flexibility and the cost saving. One of the key functions that we introduce into this type of solution with XenApp Essentials is a capability called Smart Tools, and a component of that called Smart Scale that we actually help power manage the workloads, the XenApp workloads that you're leveraging to deliver those applications. And obviously, from a security perspective, is having those resources run in whatever Azure location you choose to run those in. So if you've got requirements around applications that need to be in country, you can run those in regions in Australia. But again, if you want to actually provide some application capabilities for people maybe people who travel globally, you can spin these resources up in regions elsewhere in the globe as well. So having that global reach, but being able to manage that from a central location and a central console is key. some of the key use cases, obviously temporary workers, so allowing contractors or third parties to come in with their own devices, perhaps limiting them to just the wireless access for the internet access for their own device, but providing a capability where they can actually log into an environment, actually get some core applications that are tied into your enterprise or your business where you need to be able to deliver them some of those line of business applications without necessarily giving them full network access. Workforce mobility is another one. One that's not up there that I do want to talk to that's come up a lot recently is business continuity. This is a great way to easily spin up some of your core applications. Typically, even if it's just productivity applications, very easy to stand up. Obviously, if you've got your express route in place and you've got your core database replication occurring into Azure, then you've got a great solution there for getting some of those line of business out applications out. So you can stand up these environments very quickly and be able to provide capability for hundreds or even thousands of staff to get access to applications, whether they be productivity or line of business apps, very quickly. So it kind of fits into that workforce mobility scenario, but it fits a specific business case. And it's quite cost effective as well, because when you're not using those resources, they can be shut down and you're not paying for any consumption of those resources, but you can stand them up very quickly and invoke that sort of capability when you need. So that might be just seasonal demands as well. So it could be end of year, end of quarter sort of scenarios as well, where you can stand up those resources without necessarily having a significant investment in capital expenditure to try and do that in a traditional method. The other one's obviously branch office expansion as well. So when you're wanting to quickly stand up capability for branch office, or it might be a merger or an acquisition scenario, you can stand up these sort of environments pretty quickly. So, and we'll step through a couple of different scenarios as part of the demonstration where we can actually leverage multiple domains. You can tie down access to applications and access to users based on VNets and all sorts of things as well. So it's quite a flexible sort of arrangement that we've developed. This is the core components that we're looking at as far as leveraging Zenapp Essentials. Obviously, from a Azure subscription, that responsibility falls back onto yourselves as far as what instances you choose and how you want to run the environment. We do provide some tools around helping with that, definitely from a power management point of view. There's some RDS requirements in there as well, and there's a subscription for the Zenapp Essentials. A couple of components that we introduce as well as part of this service is the NetScaler Gateway service. So that's securing that connection for you. So that if you're wanting to allow remote access into the environment, we provide a secure mechanism using NetScaler capabilities to secure that traffic. We also maintain the controller components and the storefront components. One question that comes up quite often at the moment is the URL that we provide is a URL we provide, obviously, because we're maintaining all the certificates. They are looking on a roadmap to actually introduce some customizations there, so you can start picking and choosing the sort of URL we provide as part of that service. But that's some way down the track, but that'll be coming as well. The only components that are really required in your environment is a concept of connectors. And I won't spend too much time in the interest of time going through the actual architecture. If you do want to come and have a closer look at that, please come down to the Citrix booth. I'll be there for the next day and a half, and if you want to have a closer look at that. But really what we provide is connectivity into our control plane, into your Azure subscription, that allows us to understand what applications and what resources are available, and also allows us to provide that authentication mechanism. So we're not replicating any domain control or any Active Directory information into Citrix Cloud. We're just leveraging that connection to validate user authentication. So just a show of hands in the room who's familiar with a Citrix Zenapp or Zen Desktop 7.0 and above environment. Yeah, so a few in the room. So the left-hand side's probably going to be pretty familiar to you. That's a very similar console that we use in Citrix Cloud as well. So what we've actually done to lessen the learning curve of using Citrix Cloud, Zenapp and Zen Desktop service to manage your environment, is render the studio component for managing the environment using a HTML5 receiver. So you see that little black toggle at the top there. What is different in Zenapp Essentials is we've lifted a lot of there's not as much feature and function. It's really simplifying that process, and we'll step through that shortly. So you can really go, once you've got your AD in place and a template to use, this process really takes less than 10 minutes to walk through and stand up. So obviously you've got to go on, the images have to be uncreated, but as far as stepping through this and starting a deployment, we've really focused on simplifying this process, so it's fairly simple to follow. And the focus is on that initial image creation, making sure the applications are in that image, whether you're using AppV or whatever tools you're using to manage that image, and then leveraging our machine creation services to use that golden image and spin up as many resources as you require in the environment. We'll have a closer look at that a little bit further on. So just at a very high level, again on the simplicity factor, I just want to quickly step through the prereqs, or I guess is what you need to run through this sort of setup. Obviously, your Azure environment, so very simple to set up. If you're wanting to look at this as a proof of concept or to sandbox this, you have your Azure environment. You set up a domain controller, so grab a Windows 2012 R2 or 2016 server out of the marketplace or leverage your own. Configure the base image as well, so that's really just installing into that base image the applications you require as part of that image. And the Citrix VDA. And that's all the work you really need to do from an Azure perspective. You then come across to the ZenApp Essentials console. You create the concept, we have a concept of an application collection. So you create a new application collection. We'll have a closer look at this. You link that to your Azure subscription. So we have visibility to all the images and the VNets and the resource groups in Azure. You choose the image you'd like to use. So one thing we're introducing here that's different than to ARA is you can either use an image that Citrix provides that's been prepped. You can import a new image out of Azure, so we can go and find a VHD sitting in a storage account for you. Or you can use something that you've actually, some images that you've actually created an image catalog out of that you've actually uploaded or imported earlier. We do the domain join process for you, so you provide some service account details. There is a requirement, and we can't show it today because it's not finalised yet, but there are some existing Azure remote app scenarios where customers have non-domain join, so that function will be available as well as part of the GA release, but we won't be able to see that today. So I think about all the customers I've spoken to so far want to have a domain join requirement, so we'll take care of that process. And then once those instances are stood up, so good time to go away and make a coffee, it'll actually take that gold image, and depending on the number of instances you've requested, it'll go and stand those up. You come back, it'll tell you it's ready for the environment to have the applications published to users. We just go through and look at the start menu and pick out the applications that you want to use, or you can actually put in the path and you allocate those to users. One other important step in this process as well is we have the flexibility of choosing the instance type you'd like to use too. So because we know what your subscription is, we'll actually go and look at all the instances you have available. To Daniel's point earlier, if you did want to actually run up a graphic intensive workload, say in Singapore, and try it the N series, you could leverage your subscription to actually spin up a workload in Singapore. We'd actually go and look at all the instances available as part of that resource, and you could choose an N series workload and leverage that for some graphic intensive applications if you wanted to try that out. The other thing we introduce as well that's different to previous Azure Remote App experiences is the power management component. So nominating the days, times of the day that you'd actually like to wind down portions of the environment, deallocate those servers and actually have some cost savings in your environment. So what I might do is just jump across to screen 8. I'll flip me across there. Okay, so what we're looking at here is the Citrix Cloud console. So this is would be fairly familiar to anyone in the room who's subscribed to a trial for the Citrix ZenApp and Zen Desktop service. So the intent here is to keep this very consistent. And what we have here is a bunch of resources up here. So these are some domains that I've already integrated into the environment, a bunch of notifications around any changes that are happening in the environment, open tickets for any support calls that I've got, and some resource locations. So the concept of a resource location is my Azure, so where my Azure regions are. So I can have resource locations spread globally. So if I had if I was using the two regions in Australia, I'd have two regions. If I was using Singapore, that would be three. If I was using somewhere in the US, that would be four, and so forth. But let's have a focused look at the ZenApp and Zen Desktop service. So it's really stepping through the four key steps, which is the deployment type, linking in the Azure subscription, choosing a template image, and also then basically having access to those images and viewing the applications that are available, and then assigning what usage you'd like to make available to those applications. So you'll see here I've got a series of catalogues that I've created. One's ready to be published, and yeah, we've been running these at the booth for the last couple of days. So if you want to actually see this in a bit more detail after this session, please come down and see us. I'll actually start across at the subscription side. So this is really just the Azure subscriptions. So you'll see here there's one of my subscriptions. There's a generic SE subscription that we use for demonstrations. And Jose, one of my counterparts at Citrix, has also got a subscription in there as well. So similarly with master images, you can look at those subscriptions and choose master images, and this just makes the setup process a bit quicker. So the great thing here is I can have a whole series of images. I can just have a very base image, and we'll leverage that one today for the template that we'll use. But I may choose to roll out some Office applications or a specific application, whether I want to run those on 2012 R2 or 2016 server. That's really up to you. Obviously, you probably want to leverage some of the optimizations that have come out in 2016. Well, the great thing is you can deploy both of these instances or both of these app catalogs to the same user group and have some applications off one and some applications off the other, and then slowly migrate them across over time. So we'll go back to the catalog, and we'll actually go through a creation of the catalog and app catalog process. So we'll select add catalog. I'll just say Citrix demo. Domain joined, as I mentioned earlier, there will be an option there at release time for a non-domain join if there was something, a special requirement you had for that, or it was just a lab environment and you didn't want to stand up a domain controller. So it'll actually go off, and I've got the option here to use my Azure subscription, so I want to use the one that I pointed out earlier that we're using for demonstrations. It'll look up my resource groups. I'll choose the Ignite one. It'll then go and query that Ignite resource group for my VNets and subsequently my subnet. So I save that setting. I'll use my ignite.demo domain because that's the domain I want all these servers to join. You can determine organizational units. This is particularly important if you're using group policy for setting specific policies on those servers or certain behaviors for different user groups. I'll provide my credentials for my service account that has permissions, the appropriate permissions to join servers to domains. And that'll be validated at runtime when this process kicks off. And as I mentioned earlier, I've got an image here that's provided by Citrix. I can choose an image that I have out of that image catalog that I mentioned, the master image that I spoke about earlier. Or I may have another image that I've got in my Azure subscription that I want to bring into the environment. Maybe it's just an image that someone's just built or updated for me. I can grab that image as well. What we'll do just to, in the interest of time, is use the image that's provided here by Citrix. I'll save that. It's already predetermined the region I'm in because of my subscription. And you'll see here I've got the flexibility, and it's got some indications around the type of workloads that I could choose here. Daniel had a similar table around the density or number of users you'd typically get. So these aren't hard enforced, but there's some recommendations based on some load capabilities. We've done some load testing in Azure around different workloads and different worker types. So you could choose any of these. I could also come in here, and as I mentioned earlier, I could come through and actually look at my subscription and determine all the instances I have available. So I could pick one of these as well. And then I can set a session count. So if I've gone, Microsoft announced a new instance tomorrow and it wasn't in here and it wasn't a recommended, and I hadn't done, Citrix hadn't done any testing on density, I might come in here and think, oh, based on that CPU and the memory capabilities, I might throw 30 or 40 users on that server. So I can customize that as well. Can also come in here and choose I might just zoom in a little bit here so it might be a bit easier on the screen to see for everyone. I can also select the number of users, the number of instances, the minimum number of instances, and the maximum number of instances I want. The other thing I can turn on, and this is a really important capability, and this is the smart tools component, smart scale. So I can turn this on, and I can really set boundaries around the times of days I want to start looking to wind down the environment. So if you're familiar with multi-user environments, If you looked at a typical Citrix environment in the middle of the day, let's say I had 10 servers that were catering for 100 users, and they were, you know, roughly full utilization. If I looked at those 10 servers, they'd have 10 sessions on each of the servers. And that's load balancing doing its thing, that's great. But if I went back and looked at 5 o'clock towards the end of the day, I might have 2 sessions on each of those 10 servers. Now that's great, load balancing is working, but the problem is I really can't shut down any of those instances without impacting end user experience because I'm kicking someone off a session. So what we do with Smart Scale is we actually introduce a process where you can nominate the time of days where we put those servers into maintenance mode or a set of those servers into maintenance mode. So let's say at 3 o'clock we start putting servers into maintenance mode. So as we see sessions come off, we put them into maintenance mode. And what that means is those sessions are still running, but no new sessions come in. So we're basically narrowing the number of servers that the load balancing is taken care of because it won't throw a new session onto a server that's in maintenance mode. And what that allows for is by the end of the day, you can actually, well, not even at the end of the day, as we start seeing those servers in maintenance mode drain to zero, we'll shut not only shut them down, but deallocate them. So from a billing point of view, that's not costing you money. So if you think of a 9-to-5 business, that means almost half of the day you can actually shut down, automatically shut down the bulk of your workload environment. And even probably even more over weekends and public holidays. So we've seen with some work we've done with a number of customers with Smart Scale already, because this has been around for over 8 months now, that they can save anything between 10 and 40% of their Azure costs when they start implementing these policies. So it's definitely something worth looking at and can help drive down your Azure costs. And what you'll see here is that you've got some rule settings around setting idle time and disconnect time, really how harsh you want to be on user sessions being kicked off. But also what we'll have at GA time is an estimate based on your subscription of roughly what, based on the rule sets you've included here as well, roughly what we think your costs will be for your Azure consumption. So it's not a quote, so if it's under or over, if it's over, it's not a bad thing, but it's meant to be an estimation tool that gives you an indication of what the likely costs are for your environment based on the rules and the rule sets you've chosen and the instances you've decided to use. So that's as complicated as it gets. So the whole idea here is that this is something you can come in and do. If you've got all the prerequisites in around your subscription, your AD, and if you're using an AD domain-joined instance, and your template ready, that you can really run through that process in less than 5 minutes. And simply click Start Deployment. So what that does in the background, it goes off and it actually starts taking a copy of that gold image and creating multiple images of that instance. We've got a bit of a summary template here. So this is normally a good time to go and grab a coffee or have some lunch because it'll spin up all these instances in the background, come back and report to you, similar to the one I have prepared earlier, because I'm sure no one wants to sit here for the next 25, 30 minutes waiting for some instances to be spun up. So you'll see here, here's one I kicked off last night and left at this stage. So it's basically telling me it's ready to publish. So it's gone and created, or if it's a brand new environment, it'll go and create connectors so that it can talk to that environment, the connectors I spoke about earlier. But because this is in an environment that I've already used, it knows we've already got connectors in there. So there's no point spinning up another 2 connectors. It says, I'll use those 2 connectors that are in that resource group. I'll leverage those and I'm going to expand some capability into that environment. So all it's come back in here and saying is these instances are ready for you to actually choose the applications from. So I'll go in here. You get a nice little summary of what the environment looks like, so you know you're going to the right domain and the right servers and the right application sets. And the first thing I want to do is manage the publishing. So I'll go and say I want to publish the new applications. So this will go out and query that server or servers, all based off the same image, and it'll list all the applications I have available to publish. This one's a fairly boring server instance because this is one of the Citrix templates that I use, so we haven't got any licensed applications in there. It's really just for demonstration purposes, but if this was one that I created myself or one I imported, you know, I'd have Office productivity apps in here, I might have Adobe Reader, a whole bunch of other applications, some line of business applications as well. So I'd come in here and I'd choose some of those applications, just something nice and easy like calculator, but I could also enter the path of an application. So if it was something that the start menu didn't pick up and it was some obscure application or executable, I could come in here and actually enter that path in myself as well. So just go back and grab calculator. and I'll publish that. So from a user's perspective, very similar process. I can choose, and you'll see here, I might only have one domain. It's not giving me a domain lookup on that one. Ah, there we go. Almost gave me a heart attack. So I could just type in domain users. I did mention this as a tech preview environment, didn't I? Okay. I'll publish that to the domain admins. And that's pretty much the process. So that application is then available. That catalog I can then provide. In these instances, we're all using the same URL. But if I went to that application, that app catalog summary, there's a URL there that I'd provide it to users. They'd provide the domain credentials, and the applications that I just published would be available to them straight away. So it's meant to be a simple process. It's not meant to be overly complicated. It should be something that you can set up in or configure in 15 to 20 minutes, allow those images to be created, and then make those resources available to the end user. The other component here that's worth looking at is this, if you're familiar with Desktop Director, it's a cut-down version of Desktop Director. So that if I had sessions running in this environment, I'd type in usernames or application names, and I can actually go and search all the sessions that are running and help someone troubleshoot their session and get access to a whole bunch of performance metrics and details around that end user's specific session. Just a quick look at our actual Azure environment. So this is the environment they've actually created. You'll see the actual name that they've actually created here for the resource group line up with the app catalogs that I created. I haven't done it in some of these environments because I've been creating them and deleting them. To avoid confusion, it's also handy to create an environment tag because if you end up with a whole bunch of instances in here and a whole bunch of connectors, as I've got a couple of different connectors for different environments here, it's an easy way to work out which resource is for what environment. But you'll see starting from the top, I've got an Ignite base. That's my 2012 R2 gold image. I've got a base image for 2016 server as well, which is the second one. As part of that kickoff process, if this was a completely clean environment, the only three servers I'd have is that Ignite domain controller and the two images at the top. What would happen is if I kicked up that process for the first time, it would create the first two connectors and establish that connection to Citrix Cloud so I can manage it from the console. And then it would go and create these workloads that you see down the bottom. So these have all been created for different demonstrations, and they're all pairs at the moment. We're just to keep our Azure costs down, we just spin up a couple at a time. But I can come in at GA, I can't show you today, but at GA you'll be able to come in and actually do an update image. So that would be where I go back to that Ignite base image. Perhaps I install another application into that base image. It might be a patch update to the operating system. I'd then go back into the console and click on that app catalog and say update image. And all the changes from that base image would be applied to the app catalog that I created from that base image. So it's not only simple, the intent is not only make it simple to stand up this environment, but then also make it simple to actually operate it. Probably the boring part of the demonstration is the intent here is not to make it look any different to a traditional user access to an environment. So what we're using here is just Edge. What you would have seen, it's going to pop up and ask me to reconnect a session. That's okay. So currently the NetScaler Gateway service that the ZenApp Essentials uses is based in the US, so there's a little bit of latency here. At GA there will actually be one in country. So at the moment what's happening with this session is it's going basically from the Gold Coast through our NetScaler Gateway in the US back to my Azure subscription, and all the interactions I have with this application are through that process. When that's in country, it removes all that latency of going across the Pacific and back. But what you see there is a session that I'd run earlier in the day. I've also got Microsoft Paint sitting there. I could have Office running here as well. Using the HTML5 receiver too, which is worth noting, because this is great for the sort of the contract scenario. I don't have to worry about deploying a Citrix client here. All this application, so all I've sent out to this person that I've wanted to spin up a workload for, so great, this is why it's great for business continuity scenarios. You could text them, they've already got the domain account and password, you could text them a URL, and they don't even need to go and install a client. If they're using a HTML5 compliant browser, they could, not that many people use Paint to work these days, but if this was Office productivity tools or line of business tools that you had that capability or that application published in Azure, I could be productive within hours of you spinning up those resources. And the great thing is, if they weren't needed the next day or the next week or the next month, you could wind them back down, or we'd power manage them for you. You could go and change those metrics and then shelve all those servers. They could be there for later on. You'll pay a little bit for the storage that they're using if you don't remove them altogether, but you're not paying for that instance running. So it's a great way to power manage that environment. So what I'll do is jump back to, what are we, files? I spoke to Daniel about this before. I hate putting up a slide about pricing that has no pricing, so I do apologise. There was meant to be pricing for this to be released earlier this month. They're in the final stages of that, so I do humbly apologise. I hate not having pricing for these sorts of things. The intent is to make it very comparable, not ridiculously expensive, but comparable. I think Daniel had the pricing up for the Azure Remote App service. So we're very conscious of any existing Azure Remote App customers. So there's a lot of work being done on this end. The great thing is that there's also been a lot of optimizations from a timing perspective in the last couple of months around the back-end component. That entry point used to be 100 users because there was some stand-up costs we had of our control plane. We've driven a lot of efficiencies in the back end, so we've dropped that number down to 25. So it's a nice number to have as an entry point, particularly where you're looking at SMB or some of those use cases we spoke about earlier, just specific projects or specific application requirements. The magic timeline, as I mentioned earlier, the important thing is this date that Daniel mentioned. We're going to introduce some tools into this equation as well to help any existing customers. Whether you want to go through a manual process of actually moving your images across, but we'll introduce some tools into this process as well. So for any existing Azure Remote App customers, but also customers who have an image on-premise as well and want to easily get that image up into Azure, we're looking at introducing some tools in there as well. And that's another capability in that smart tool set we spoke about. The limited tech preview is just about finished, so there's not much point trying to sign up for that. That's being wound down at the moment because the general availability is just around the corner. So stay tuned for that. And you will be able to get access to a trial environment. So anyone in the room who's actually registered for a Citrix Cloud app and Zen App and Zen Desktop trial and has been using that process, it'll be a similar process to get access to a Zen App Essentials environment. So that trial environment is normally a 60-day environment for 25 users, but that means you can actually do basically what I've run through on stage today, stand up an image, play around with it, get some applications out there, get some end-user feedback, and give us some feedback and let us know what you think. For existing Azure Remote App customers, this is a promotion at the moment. We're actually looking at, maybe you're a reasonably large Azure Remote App customer and you did want to actually move to the full Zen App and Zen Desktop service, there's a really price competitive offer on at the moment for the first year of moving to that service. So you can look at basically leveraging those images but actually putting the whole Citrix Cloud control plane over the top of that. And we're defining a whole bunch of how-tos on integrating that as part of this promotion. But it's something worth noting as well. And the benefit of the fuller service is it gets all the... If you're familiar with some of the benefits of Zen App and Zen Desktop Platinum, in particular some of the recent acquisitions, so the Unidesk app layering capability that we announced at the start of the year, that'll be introduced into this platform. Similarly with the Norscale optimizations and profile management optimizations from the acquisition we announced last year. So they'll roll up into the full Zen App and Zen Desktop service. Some components of those may filter down into the Zen App Essentials service, but that hasn't been determined just yet. And back to Daniel.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, Scott, for going through that demo on Essentials. So we're going to change tack and have a look at options for migrating and deploying into that cloud. This is really just a high-level overview. We talk about on-prem. You can still keep your infrastructure on-prem. You look after the infrastructure, you deploy, you do your own sizing. Same with deploying on the cloud, IaaS. We had a template here that spins up an RDS farm in Azure. Again, there's also a template from Citrix in the marketplace that spins up a Zenapp farm on 7.12 in Azure as well. And really, if you're looking at a cloud-managed service, that's where you look at Zenapp Essentials. So that's where this sits. The Azure Remote App, end of life, not sold anymore, 30th of August for those that are running in production. Start looking at what Essentials has. Go down to the Citrix booth and have a look at that in a bit more detail. So really, you're moving across the spectrum. Where you sit, they have different costs for each. Just a slide on those customers on Azure Remote App today. How do you go about migrating? Right. You've got, so this is the steps that Scott went through. Really, how you go about migrating is that image that you have, the RDS, the Windows image. You might still have it on-premise. So if you have a copy of that disk on-prem, you can take that. Or if it's already sitting in an existing storage account in Azure Remote App subscription. Basically, you take that image, you install the VDA, the Virtual Desktop Agent. Once you've installed the Virtual Desktop Agent, these images don't need to be sysprepped, by the way. For Azure Remote App, you had to sysprep them before attaching them to a collection. Once you've done that, you just copy it to a storage account, and in Scott's demo, he was choosing an image. You can select that image from your storage account. There's no way of running both farms, migrating the existing farm over. So we're basically running both in parallel and then switching your users over. Oh, sorry. And just about there. Okay, so some considerations. Really, you're looking at, with the Essentials, you need to get receiver out there, or use the HTML5 receiver that you saw in Scott's demo. Azure Remote App runs in ASM as well. Everything we've been talking about today is running in ARM. So there's a natural progression to move ASM to ARM. One of the considerations would be around using the domain services, Active AADDS, if you're using that in your Azure Remote App environment. And then really looking at sizing and selecting the various VMs that you need. Okay, so I think really what I have with this slide is looking at whether you select 2016 as an OS, looking at what additional features you're getting from 2016. The 2016 features, one of the key ones that I highlighted was the using the shared SQL and using an Azure SQL as PaaS. Most of the RDS improvements that you see in 2016 are actually due to the improvements in Hyper-V 2016 as well, the GPUs and so on. Migrating from ASM to ARM, that's what we covered before. Premium storage, Express Route, consider those as options in your migration and looking at the new N series. I've got two links here I wanted to share. If you are putting RDS in Azure, look at this. This script will be updated to ARM. It's basically an auto-scaling script. It scales up and down your remote session hosts based on demand. They will update this to ARM, but it currently works for ASM. The other is if you are pure RDS and you have, are you using UPDs, user profile disks, we can actually create a scale-out file server inside Azure using Storage Spaces Direct. So you now highly available, make your UPD share highly available. So there's a link for that as well. Finally, I wanted to leave this with you, is your existing RD web, right? Who's installed their RDS farm, leaves their RD web, basically generic. This is basically a page you can come back to. We're sharing the slides, so you can come back to this, to change the look and feel. I'll just show you what the current look and feel looks like. So that's a generic Aadi web, right? Whose environment looks like this today? Most of you. You can customize this quite significantly. It took me about half an hour, and I customized our one. It looks like this. Change the image. I've even removed the domain requirement. You know, for Aadi Web, you have to type in your domain name and your password. Domain name, username, and password. Here, I just log in with my username, password, and I'm in. So it only took me a half an hour to do that. And it's using basically a combination of updating these files, updating images, changing some application settings here. So go back and there's some reference links here as well. So go back, customize your Aadi web page. And that brings us to the end of the session. So in summary, really, look at what Windows Server 2016 gives you in terms of RDS. There's a great partnership between Microsoft and Citrix. It's been going on for over 25 years. ZenApp Essentials is going to replace Azure Remote App. And your deadline is the 31st of August. In terms of deployment and migration, really, it could be IaaS, could be on-premise, it could be somewhere in between. Talk to consultants, do some research. And I wanted to highlight one link. There is a set of the last link gives you basically all of these webinars. There's one on tonight that go through migrating. I encourage you to go watch these recordings. They go in a bit more detail. Some of the third parties like Frame has some interesting offerings as well. And okay, so some links that you can go visit. There's another Citrix session on Windows 10 today, 3:30, just two doors over. And I'll leave this.
Yeah, and get down to the booth if you can and fill in the prerequisites. There's some survey forms on your seats as well. But there's five activities you need to complete if you want to go into the draw for this. I think the price is going up by the day. This is a limited edition that's actually not available anymore. So, if you want to take something home to impress the kids or not, if you want to make it yourself, depending on how big a kid you are yourself. Get down to the booth. There's five activities. I think most of you in the room may have already. This is one of them. So, yeah, you for being here. And I guess thanks again. Just to reiterate Daniel's comments. Thanks again. At 8:15 is always a tricky start. When we saw that on the schedule, we were a little bit concerned, but pretty much almost a full room. So thank you very much for attending today. We'll be around for five or 10 minutes if you've got any questions.
You can
questions,
catch us at the speakers.
Come to the booth.
Make sure you fill out your evals as well. We really do like your feedback. And I see there's a number you need to get a stamp, passcode.
I think they're doing that at the door.
Oh, are they?
Yep.
Okay. Great. Yes.